Well, this morning we're going back into our teaching we have been doing, talking about what is faith, covering a lot of different areas, a lot of different things is dealing with this subject. And it's one of the things, as I was over listening to some things that Kenneth Hagin taught on the subject years back, probably it was the late 70s and maybe into the early 80s. And one of the things that he taught back at that time, he said, and really he was dealing with it, he said, you know, it'd take about 35 sessions, he said, to really cover the subject of faith the way it should be covered. And the reason for that is because our whole walk in life is faith. That's what the Bible says. We walk and live by faith. You know, most of the church world, faith means accepting Jesus Christ. And so the people who talk and say that, and that's just mostly where they live, they never walk by faith. It's not their lifestyle. They think because they got born again sometime that was sort of the closes the book on that deal. But it doesn't. We need to understand that we're living in a walk of faith, and we're supposed to practice faith in God in our life. And we're talking about faith in God. We need to understand this, that when we talk about faith, we're talking about faith in the Word of God. We're talking specifically. When the Bible deals with the area of the faith, it's talking about faith in God's Word. You could have faith in many things. People could have faith in natural things. They can put, you know, and understand this. We all do have a certain amount of faith in certain natural things that we do. You know, you walk out to your car, the fact that you get in and you're surprised if it don't start, that would be the fact that you had faith that that thing was going to go. You believed it was, and it didn't. But, you know, that's not the eternal faith God's talking about. What you want to learn is the operation of faith, because that's how God's kingdom runs. When you leave this earth and you go to heaven, heaven is run by faith. Heaven's not run like it is what people do here. We just don't make up our own ideas and what we want to do and things like that. Heaven operates off of God's Word. And so if you learn the principles here, you'll know it over there. You know, the Bible, we pray, and these people say the Lord's Prayer, and they pray that God's will would be done on earth like it is in heaven. The only way it can be done here on this earth, God's will, is through faith. And the will is His Word. See, if I'm not walking in line with the Word of God, I'm not living by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And it's not, so in other words, it is not possible to please God unless I'm walking by faith. The Scripture says, whatever isn't of faith is sin. So whatever I do that isn't, I'm walking and I'm not walking in line of what faith is, I am living in sin. Many Christians live sinful lives and they think they're good people. But according to the teachings of men, they're good. And so we need to understand this is why is faith, and that's why we're taking so much time in teaching. We're going to go back. We did teach last week. We talked about thanksgiving and about giving thanks. The faith, thanksgiving by faith. You know, because most people, when they talk about giving thanks, it's for thanks for something God already did. You know what? Anybody can do that. That's a simple thing to do, is to give thanks. Somebody does something for you, you say thank you. But thanksgiving by faith, the Bible teaches us to thank God before we see something or we feel something. Thanking God that His Word is true. You know, number one, I thank God for Jesus all the time. Never seen Him personally. You know, people don't think, you know, we don't thank God. You know, when we pray, one of the things we were looking is because of asking by faith. When we ask for something, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to go over to Mark the 11th chapter. You know, we've covered and went into these things, but we're going to be using this scriptures more because I want these things to get so settled in you. You know, some people, you know, they go, well, you know, teaching on faith and going back to this stuff. These are the words of Jesus. If you get bored and you think you've heard the words of Jesus too much, you need to get saved. You should never get tired. I don't ever get tired of looking into scriptures and seeing them over and over and over again. I never get tired of that. And we shouldn't. Because, and especially if Jesus said something, man, I want to tell you what, we should be excited to hear it a million times. And we want to get over to that. Now, Jesus spoke to them, and we want to look at this as in dealing with Mark, because we can definitely learn some things here in teaching these things. In Mark the 11th chapter, I want you to see this because we're going to look at the familiar part of it in Mark the 11th chapter, starting at verse 22. And Jesus had cursed the fig tree. And now He's going to talk to the disciples, specifically the principle of faith, how faith operates. You know, the Bible says we have the same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. That's the spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. You know, a lot of these Christians, they don't like these people. All these people go around, you confess this and confess that. They don't like that stuff. Well, get over it. That's the kingdom of God. You can't get saved without that principle. There's many people believe they're Christians that sit in churches and believe they're Christians and are not Christians because they have never gotten born again. There's only one way to get born again is to believe in your heart and confess. It's the only way to do it. The Bible says it. There ain't any other way to do it. You don't get it because you're good and because you go to the right church. You can go to the right church and end up in hell. You don't get there. You get born again. You know, praise God. I'm so thankful that salvation is more than forgiveness of sin. If it don't have the new birth in it, it didn't do me a bit of good. Because I'll live like hell. And that's why so many Christians, so-called Christians, live like hell. They never got born again. It changes your life. You become a new creation. Hallelujah. That's the wonder of what Jesus did. Glory to God. And Jesus answered and said to them in verse 22, have faith in God. Now I want to look at that because it says have faith in God. And really when you go into it, if you study over in the areas of look into the Greek of it, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can look and study things over into that area. But even with some other translations, the Bible in basic English says it this way. It says it, and Jesus answered and said to them, have God's faith. Have God's faith. And you need to understand that. When you're going to have faith in the kingdom of God, it has to be God's faith. It's going to have to be. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then where did it come from? It came from God. And it's God's faith. See, God faith. We look in the beginning. God believed that he came and he spoke the earth into existence. He spoke words. That's what he did. He said words. God's faith. So we have God's word. The Young's literal translation says, and Jesus answered, said to them, have faith of God. And I like the Greek interlinear says, the New Testament says, have the faith of God. Also says to have the faith of God. Really, and what the idea of it is if you study the Greek, and I don't know why they don't get just downright clear. It means have the God kind of faith or have faith like God has. That's how faith works. God's kingdom works off of his faith. So if I want to operate in his kingdom, I have to do it like he does it. Have his kind of faith. I have to operate. That's how his kingdom works. It doesn't work some other way. It doesn't have some other means of doing it. It works by having faith. And that's why we're so meticulous. Mike, you know, said this morning about the word, you know, you get it. You have to get in line with the word. You can't do it any other way. You got to sit down and find out what God's word says. As we go on in teaching in these areas of faith too, we're going to go over and talk in the areas of teaching on prayer, because many times in these areas, people go over into praying and they don't know how to apply faith in the areas of praying. It's not just an asking thing. People don't know how to approach God. One of the things that you need to understand this, you will always be limited in your spiritual life, either how much of the word that you know, how familiar you are with God's word. You see, and this is one of the things you need as an individual. As I always like, you know, Kenneth Hagin, when I was raised up under his ministry, and he, you know, would do always the things of tell us, you know, he'd preach into the word and stuff. And but he would say, now you always go to the scripture yourself and you find out if what I'm saying is true. You go yourself. See, most people, the average Christian today, and even what people they call good Christians, know very little about the Word. You know, I was born and raised in church, you know, in my words, we practically lived at church. You know, we went to church all the time, man. I want to tell you, back years ago and that stuff, they'd run these revivals, and man, you'd be 13, 14 weeks every night in church. And you'd be doing all these things, going to church. And you know what? When I got saved, finally, after getting away from religion, and I got saved, you know, and these people, I was born and raised among plain people and that kind of stuff. But you know what? When I got saved, I found that they knew nothing about the Bible. They didn't even know what it said. They had all their religious traditions that they had. And I would say things, I'd go to my parents and I'd say things about, they'd make statements. I'd say, where's that in the Bible? Well, I don't know, but I know it's there. I'd say, no, you don't. It ain't there. Oh, yes, it is. I said, well, where is it? Well, I just don't know where it is right now. And my parents had all these kinds of stuff, but the whole church, that's what they were preached. Nobody ever checked to find if it was in the Bible. You don't ever check. No, because this is a way, because they didn't want you to know, because, you know, really, what people don't realize, what happens to it, there's a control part held in that, to control. You know, I don't want to control you. I have enough trouble with me. If God's word can't control you and God can't keep you in some kind, you know, ain't no use me trying to do it. It ain't going to work. And the whole thing, you know, this is what religion does things. And what they did is they were made you afraid to look at anything other than what they said. Oh, man, you do that, God's going to get you. You know, they made you afraid that if you checked anything else out, oh, my, my, you were going to get it. And what happens was, and what they don't realize, they sit in bondage and they don't have any freedom at all. And all their, what they call, you know, their salvation is all based on stuff, on things. You know, it's like, you know, you could, now in the group I was with, you could have cars and you could have a shiny bumper with them, but you didn't, if you drove in a red car, you were probably going to hell. You know. And if you showed up at church and you wore a tie, you were probably already had one foot in. but the whole thing of it is, well, this, see, they didn't have salvation by faith. They had salvation by works. They had salvation. Now, I don't care. If a guy don't want to wear a tie, don't wear a tie. You know, it's all right by me. I don't, yeah. But don't go around telling somebody else. See, because it has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with freedom. It has nothing to do with God. It don't have a thing to do with none of that. Them, I say, do what you want with that. But don't drag it into God's kingdom and say, now you got to do, this is what you got to do if you want to be a Christian. You know? And, you know, it's just like, you know, when they didn't realize that their really tough spot that they were in was the fact of, you know, they had all this stuff and you had to be all these things and they didn't realize what sin that they lived in. Because, you know, they were always complaining about other people and the people on the outside and those bad sinners out there, you know, and they didn't realize that they were worse off in many ways than the sinner was on the outside. They didn't know, they didn't realize it. And I really feel sorry for them. You know, it wasn't until my dad got into his 80s till he started seeing some of the things of how, you know, messed up it was. When he finally come, the fact he says, my God, you know, he came convinced that I was saved. he became convinced that I was saved. And, but you know, that was hard for him. Drilled all those years. You don't, you know, there's just things have to be a certain way. And what happens is this, nobody's living a life of faith. Nobody's pleasing God. Now, they want to please God. They want to. I wanted to find out what I had to do to please God as faith. Well, one thing is we're dealing here with the Word of God. You got to come over to the Word of God. And we're talking about faith in the Word of God. Having faith like God has faith. Now Jesus said this. Now understand, we could say this in these scriptures. This is what God said. Jesus said he didn't, when he was in the earth, I don't say anything the Father don't say. That's what he said. He said, what I speak, he said, that's what the Father's saying. So we could say God's saying this. So this is God speaking. Now, Jesus said in verse 23, he said, for assuredly I say to you, now he's going to tell us what God faith is like. This is what it is. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, he said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, he doesn't what? Doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. What is a person going to have? And we've talked about this, I've said it many times, I'm going to say it again. He did not say you're going to have what you believe. He said you're going to have what you say. This is why many Christians have a very hard and tough time and they wonder why things don't work. This is exactly how all this nonsense started off in the church world of saying sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes maybe, sometimes later. There's no such thing in the New Testament. Nothing like that's ever said. But it has been developed by man because man don't know how to operate in faith. They don't listen to God. People believe things and they say they don't come to pass. I don't understand. I'm believing. You can believe Jesus is Lord, but you don't ever confess it. You won't get saved. The Bible says you concerning that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can't get saved without saying it. You have what you say. See, people don't like this confession stuff and these people, well, these name it and claim it. That's how I got saved. I named it and claimed it. Dear God, that's how I got saved. What do they do? What do they got in their church? I don't know. Well, they can't have salvation. You can't have nothing without it. It all comes by believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. That's how it all works. This is the kingdom of God. And I can't please God without doing this kind of thing. God likes it. I say the word a lot. I confess the word a lot. I'll tell you, when things are going rotten, I find a good scripture and I stalk that scripture. And I say, that one's mine. Hallelujah. I'm having a good time. I'm not having a bad time. See, some people say, well, you're not being realistic. Get over it. I don't want to live in your world. I don't want to live in your real world. My world's better. The world of faith far supersedes religion. Far supersedes religion. And that's why you want to walk over in this area. You know, I remember over the years when I started understanding some of these things about faith years ago, back in the early 1980s, you know, I was making confession and saying things and it didn't look like nothing was working, you know. But, you know, you're starting off. And you're, you know, because this is a whole different way of lifestyle. You know, the churches I grew up in, they didn't teach you none of this. Man, they'd tell you to stay away from it. Boy, you're getting into a cult. And they didn't realize that's what they were in. That's what they were in, a cult. They were in this group that had this religious beliefs, but they weren't, it really was a cult. But they didn't see it that way. They didn't see it. They weren't bad people. They weren't evil people. I believe they wanted to do right. But their practices weren't in line. Their practices and many things were no better than Buddhism or Hinduism or anything like that. But see, if we don't identify, you don't know what's right and wrong. You know, you can have what just as many people have. They have what looks better than what the Hindu has. But it ain't no better if it don't produce anything any better. It ain't any better than what they got. You might as well be a Hindu. It's one of the reasons myself, as I stayed away from Christianity, didn't want to have nothing to do with it, was because of its lifelessness. It produced nothing. It didn't produce anything. See, I don't just see any sense in wasting my time in what don't produce. I just can't see why waste my time. If God has you down here running around doing stuff, you know, if you went out here and you were a farmer and they told you to practice things and ever you did what they did and your crops always failed and everything ever worked, you'd finally come around the thing saying, what good is all this stuff? It's like Christianity. What good is salvation if it doesn't produce something? What good did it do Jesus to go all through what he did and suffered and then the resurrection from the dead if it didn't produce something of glory for us? I mean, what good is it? I mean, if it's just, okay, you get to go to heaven, but down here you're just this old pilgrim down here. Give me a little log cabin in the corner of glory land. And, it is just so hard down here. You know what's amazing? The Apostle Paul spent a lot of time in jail and stuff. And you never heard him talking on a lot of stuff. Read his letters. He never talked like he was some old pilgrim, you know, and poor old me. He always had in his letter, man, God was good. Paul was more free in jail than most Christians are out today walking around. Hallelujah. I want to live in that freedom. I look at the men like Paul and I say, man, when I'm in the middle of trouble, I want to be able to write a good letter. I don't want to write the letter I'm going to hear most preachers do. I don't want that letter. You know how hard it is. Oh, sometimes I get this material they send to ministers, you know, and they talk about how hard it is in the ministry. I just can't wait to throw them away. I don't need somebody to tell me the bad stuff. I already know the bad stuff's going on. We don't need to sit and read articles about it in magazines, dear God. Say, get the Bible out, Ed. There's some good stuff in here that'll help you. Dear God. So, oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we want to have the God kind of faith. And we want to have faith like God has. Now in Mark 11, I want to read 11:24 because Jesus tells us concerning prayer. Now we're not going to do a bunch of teaching on prayer today, but I want you to get this. We're going to eventually go over into prayer and talk about praying and using the principles. But in Mark 11:24, then Jesus talks about praying the prayer of faith for yourself. This is about you. And he uses Mark 11:24 and he says this, therefore I say to you, he said, therefore I say to you, now that you understand that word therefore is there because of Mark 11:23. The word therefore is basically saying this, Because of what I just said in Mark 11:23, because of what I just said, the principle that you believe in your heart, where does the believing at? In your heart or in your inner man. That's where you're believing. You're believing on, he said, and have no doubt. Now, he's not talking about doubt in your mind. He's not talking about your brain. He said in your heart. Not having doubt in your heart. We're going to teach some more on that area eventually too. But he's talking about having doubt. And he said, so you believe in your heart and then you say with your mouth. That's the principle. That's the principle of faith. That's the spirit of faith. Paul said, we have the same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. So in other words, what we believe we're supposed to be speaking. We're supposed to be speaking words that are out of our heart and not out of our head and not out of my feelings. We're not supposed to be speaking words, well, I just don't feel right. Well, I don't care how you feel about it. What's going on the inside? What will come to pass in your life, good or bad, determines what you're saying from your heart. You put wrong things in your spirit, in your heart. You believe wrong things, you will produce those things. Believe me, I watch the people in religion. I watch it, my parents. They had a lot of things didn't go right, but they didn't talk right. They didn't know, but they weren't taught. They weren't taught. They taught, you know, they were being honest. Well, I'm going to talk on. I'm going to say what I feel. I'm going to tell it like it is. You know, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. No, don't do that. Keep, you don't have very much anyhow. Keep what you can. Don't give me a piece of it. You know. People going around saying things they shouldn't be saying, talking. And my parents and I realized there was many things they brought to pass in their lives because of what they said. But they didn't know no better. They weren't taught in church. They weren't taught about how faith works. And what happens, they were taught and believed wrong things and were saying wrong things. They expected things to go bad. They thought that was part of being really humble life and everything and all that kind of stuff. That this is God working things out. And when I was 11 years old and they said to me, about asked me if I wanted to go to heaven, and I said, no, I didn't want to go to heaven. Well, after I got them breathing again and off the floor, I said, why would I want to go to heaven? I said, God don't treat you good here. Why do you think when you get over there, he's going to treat you good? God changes not, the Bible said. If God makes you sick here to teach you, he will be doing it over there. If that's scripturally true, which it isn't, it's a lie. No word in scripture teaches that. We can't find one time Jesus said to somebody, no, I won't heal you because you're sick you're supposed to be learning something. Never once did Jesus do it. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. If God makes people sick, Jesus' ministry is the biggest lie that's ever been on the face of the earth. His whole ministry is a lie. You see, we need to face this stuff. People need to sit down and read the Bible. I wish I could get Christians to read the Bible. Generally, a Christian, they don't read the Bible unless they have on their religious colored glasses and then they sit there and read it by what somebody else told them it said. And they don't read words for themselves. So one thing is I caught right away is looking at Jesus' ministry. I looked at Jesus, I thought, my God, he never made nobody sick. He never did anything. And this is supposed to be God in action. This is God in action. And then Jesus says, yeah, the works that I do, you'll do also. Start doing it, and they'll want to crucify you with them. Oh, no, we ain't supposed to do the works with you. Oh, do the works of Jesus. Well, what are they? Oh, they don't know. Just be nice and feed the poor. There you go. But if you heal the sick, that you're in trouble now. You cast out a demon, you know. I had a guy write a thing online about me. He said he can cast out devils. Well, dear Lord, Jesus said I would. Jesus said in his name, I'd cast out demons. I thought, here this guy, some just, you know, religious zealot, don't know the Bible, publishing things online. I feel sorry, well, you know, well, he just shot himself in the foot because I know this about him. The devil owns him. How sad. Probably got born again, but the devil's running. He's like, the devil has him going around trying to destroy the Christians who know the Word of God. Oh, yeah. Amazing. I feel it. Look, it don't hurt me, you know. It doesn't faze me at all, but it hurts him terribly. It hurts him bad. And he doesn't realize what he did. And well, let's go to Mark 11:24, because Jesus is telling us how to use his faith. we got in prayer. How do you use this? Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. He said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, whatever things you ask. He said, whatever things. See, obvious people, well, they're always praying and they're always asking for things. Well, Jesus just said we're supposed to ask for things. See, read the Bible. Don't listen to religious people. Don't listen to religious people because what they do, you ask them, you know, I was in ministry and people say, well, you know, I don't believe God wants people to be rich and I've had ministers pass the collection plate and I never put none in. When you tell me God don't want you rich, I ain't giving him no money. I don't want him to be rich. I don't want to keep him poor, you know. We don't want to do that. I'm going to give him what he says. Well, who sets the level of what rich is? I mean, how many dollars can I reach up to that now that stops, I can't go beyond that? Who set that one? Well, it depends on the church you go to. They'll set it. Because as soon as you buy a nicer house than the guy who thinks he's the most spiritual, then he's going to be talking at you, is going to be saying things. Well, that's how I lived in the religious churches. I was raised in them suckers. I know what this stuff's about. I know what it's like. Or you got a suit and it wasn't the cheapest one on the rack. You got a better one. They were like, you see with Brother Roe so and so, he's, you know, he thinks he's high and mighty. No, he just had money for a good suit. Shut up. Ask God to give you a good one someday, you idiot. It's like, dear Lord. Oh, man, hey, I was born around, raised around this stuff, man. I lived it. I saw it going on. I saw it happening. All this in the ideas of faith and following God. Well, don't have things. Well, God, Jesus said you can ask for things. Now, he said, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, the things that you ask when you pray, he says, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, I want you to see something. One of the things that I really like, Randall Greer, the Lord gave him a revelation because, and you need to grasp this revelation. Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray. He did not say, whatever things I want you to have when you ask, when you pray. See, that's what everybody puts, that's what they tack right in there. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe God don't want you to have that. Jesus should have said it. Jesus should have said, I can't ask for things. Well, what things can I ask for? You know, Jesus never did. Jesus said, here's Jesus' words. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Huh. See, what you need is you need a religious interpreter so you can understand the Bible. See, you're not smart enough to know what words mean. You know, I looked up those words like things in the dictionary. You know what they mean? Things, you can ask for stuff, many things. You know. But you go there. Jesus said, "You can whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you." You need to ask this. Everybody deals in the things. Can you imagine us living in this life and we can only have, I guess, you know, maybe Jesus was a cowboy. See, because what he did is, you know, you have to stay within these guidelines and he's going to beat you and ride you one way or the other to make you get to where he wants you to go. I thank God, you know, he didn't, you know, we don't see Jesus telling, you know, okay, guys, now look, you could believe maybe for a donkey, but don't get any better than that one. You know, I know there's a mule over there, but you stay away from the mules. That's getting a bit out there, guys. You can have a 2-bedroom house, you know, but it has to be, you know, stone and mud, you know. Dog, no. They're going down the quarry, getting that granite. No. You stay away from the granite, no. He doesn't do any of that kind of stuff. Jesus wears such an expensive garment that people gamble for it. Would anybody gamble for anything in your closet? Jesus would be run out of almost every church today because they'd have told him, like the disciples, you ought to sell that and give the money to the poor. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. I'll tell you what, they'll be writing some stuff online now. Hallelujah. I'm just so glad God blesses you. You know, Folks, this principle works. This principle is a faith work. And God operates in it. I mean, it's absolutely stupid. You know, if you had to fall into all these different things, I mean, they drug the law, and what they don't realize, they drug the law over and they threw it in, the law in, that you have to, you know, Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. You know, the Lord said this to me one day, because under the curse of the law falls all everything from sickness, disease, poverty, and anything you can think of under the sun was under the curse. All that stuff's under there. But one day the Lord said this to me, and I never saw it from this perspective, and it was just out of the clear blue. In fact, I was out running at the time. He said, do you know what the curse of the law is? And this is how I respond to him, because when he asks me a question, I always go to the thing is I don't know, because I've learned this. He wouldn't be asking me if I knew what he was going to say. Because, you know, I've embarrassed myself a few times. And so I just said, Lord, no, I must not know, or you wouldn't be saying something. He said, the curse of the law is that you can't keep it. That's the basis of the curse of the law. You can't keep it. Jesus came so we could have the full blessing, and the church says, no, let's live under law. The church says, no, let's follow these regulations. You have to do this. You have to do that. You can't keep the law. I thank God. The blessing of Abraham is on me. Well, I checked, you know, Abraham, he wasn't some poor guy. He was so rich, it scared the people around him. They were probably religious people. They were scared him. He had a tougher army than the kings had around. He went and fought with three kings. He went up against them. Dear Lord, my words, Abraham would be run out of the church today. He wouldn't be allowed to stay around. No, we can't have Abraham around. He makes us look bad. I'll tell you what, he's too worldly. He got gold and silver and all that kind of stuff, you know. I'll always love this. Don't give me any of this earth. I don't want any earthly goods. Well, what are you doing living in a house, eating food? Why do you have a car? You liar. That's a good, dumb religious statement. I don't want any of this earthly goods. I do. Jesus said the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. Gold and silver are mine, says the Lord. Who do you think it was for? He told Adam where the gold was. Do you think he told him because he didn't want him to have any? I always tell those people, then give me your stuff. Give me your stuff. I'll take it off your hands so you don't sin so much. Give it to me. Hand it over. Send a checkbook. Send a check. I know how to write a check. I'll empty your account. You know, I don't want any earthly goods. I sure do. I want more earthly goods because I can give more. You know, Wanda and I live better and give more. And every year, I was just checking up this year looking at our tax things. You know, I'd said before, you know, I just wondered when the Lord dealt with me in 2014 about finances, about going for more. And I looked on there. My God, last year we gave 30% of our income away. Hallelujah. And lived better. Hallelujah. See, I just, you know, to me, it's just getting better and better going along. I really wasn't keeping track of a lot of stuff, and I went and sat down and started looking at things. I think, my God, we did some major giving. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. And I'll tell you what, and Wanda already talked to me about something she wants to do in giving money, more money this year. Hallelujah. So if you don't want any of the earthly goods, Ed knows what to do with them. I know how to use them for me, and I know how to give stuff away. I'm good. The Lord told me that He told me personally, you do good. He said, I can trust you with money. You want to tell? This is what I learned. The people, when I was in a church as a kid, they didn't want earthly goods. They didn't want all that stuff. And they were all tight-fisted. Yes. You want to get something out of them, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to break your fingers. They weren't letting go of them. When the plate went by and they put their dollar in, they thought, man, we are something now. I'll tell you, you ought to be glad I gave you that one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they didn't want the preacher to have anything, and yet the Bible says the guy who teaches the word ought to have a double portion. You can't have a blessed life holding back in the guy that's feeding you. And you guys have been great. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can ask the board. I even turned down raises. I'm not after money and after people's money. Hallelujah. But I wanted to use my faith. The Lord spoke to me. He said, never allow the church to give you all the money that you need. Always have your faith out beyond what they can give you. See, I want to use my faith. And you know what? Money comes. Money comes. Money follows me around. Money's always looking for me. Hallelujah. It don't run from me. It looks for me. Hallelujah. I know what to do with it. Money is not everything in life. I'm going to tell you, it's low down on the totem pole, but there's one thing. Money is a wonderful tool. It's like a carpenter. You take his hammer from him, he ain't going to be much of a carpenter. You take his saw, he ain't going to be much of a carpenter. Money is a wonderful tool. You ain't got money, you have a big tool out of your toolbox, ain't there? You need money. You need money because God has things he wants to do. You know, you're a worker together with him. He wants to be able to trust you with riches. To be able to trust you, and not you trusting in riches, it's you trusting you with riches. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you want to go to that place where you can be trusted. I want to read you in Mark 11:24. And I don't know where I'm going with this today because the Lord didn't tell me. He just gave me these scriptures and said, go on, you know, and he wanted to do some things and I had some other ideas. But anyhow, Mark 11:24, I'm going to read you. The Bible Basic English says this because people don't get it. They say, you know, whatever thing you desire when you pray, the King James says desire. Actually, that word to ask, desire, if you look up the word, the usage of that word from the Greek standpoint, that word can mean ask, it can mean desire, it means to require, also is crave. What is it that you crave? I like the term used crave for this reason. Many times people's faith don't work because they don't really crave what they're asking for. If they didn't get it, they're willing to just bypass it. If you're asking for something, anything I ask God for, I am unwilling to not have it. Don't tell me to ask and you don't want me to have it. I mean, it's the stupidest thing in the world. Don't tell me to ask. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes yes. How can you have faith if you don't know? How could you trust somebody you don't know if they're going to do what they say? How could you trust them? I want to know how you do that. I wonder how I can ever trust God. You know, we you know, singing today, God's able, he's faithful. These are nice religious terms to most people, but they're meaningless. God is faithful for this reason. To me, he's faithful because he keeps his word constantly. If God said I'm going to ask something, he'd give it to me, I'm going to get it. I know that. It's mine. I have it. Now, I want you to read, because I really think here in the King James and the New King James don't really say it as clearly as it should. In the Bible, in Basic English, says, for this reason, in other words, because of what's in Mark 11:23, he said, I say to you, whatever you make a request for in prayer, have faith that it has been given to you. And you will have it. Have faith that, see, faith believes it's been given. See, many people say, I believe God's going to do such and such to me. No. I believe I already have it. This is the whole difference. I learned this principle when I got born again. And I first got born again, Kenneth Hagin teaching on this. And this revelation went off on me about when we ask, I am supposed to believe at the time that I ask that he gave it to me. I'm supposed to believe it's mine when I ask, not mine when it shows up. This is the big thing. This is why it doesn't work for people. They're always, I believe God when he gives it to me. That's why these people say sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. That is totally opposite of faith. Because he said when we pray, he said have faith that it has been given to you. In the 20th century New Testament says, and therefore I say to you, have faith that whatever you ask for in prayer is already granted you, and you will find that it will be. In other words, it is the reason things don't show up for people is because they have never believed nor said it belongs to them. See, if you ever notice, it's one of the things is Why? Like sometimes when I have people come up and pray for them in the front, especially praying the prayer of faith about something, directly praying the prayer of faith, that I'll go through some things and talk to people ahead of time. And when I pray the prayer of faith. You'll notice I always pray concerning healing. I tell, say to people if I'm praying directly the prayer of faith, I always say, we believe they receive their healing right now in the name of Jesus. Now I say that, I hope they believe that. Sometimes people don't. They're waiting to feel better, and when they feel better, they'll believe they have some. That ain't the way it works. See, I've learned, I've got good at that concerning healing and faith. I believe I have it, it's mine. I always stop, like I like teaching last week in Thanksgiving. If I had an ailment or something, I just, thank you, Lord God. I'm just so thankful, Lord, that you've already healed me. Jesus already took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He ain't going to do that. He's already done that, the Bible says. The Bible says, by his stripes I was healed. It didn't say, by his stripes I'm going to get healed. It don't say that. It says, I was. So I say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I'm just so glad you healed me. Hallelujah. I'm just so glad healing's mine. I got it. Glory to God, it's mine. I don't feel a thing. I don't feel better on it. But I just acted in faith. My healing has to come. If it don't, he's a liar. And he ain't ever lied. A lot of preachers lied. A lot of preachers lied on Jesus. But Jesus ain't ever lied. And I just want to tell you, folks, it works every time. It works every time. I have never had it fail once. Never once. It don't fail. Now, that doesn't mean everything comes instantly, but one thing I'll do, I will just keep walking and confessing the word. I'll just keep going on and God, no, I have it. It belongs to me. See, this is what people do, is why they miss it. Then they go out, they don't feel better, so they come back to get prayed for again. And the reason they're coming back, they're going to trying to get their healing. They didn't ever believe they received it. They're coming back, get hands, and they think we just get prayed. And one day, you know, if I get enough hands laid on me and it rubs enough hair off my head, we're going to have something. We're going to get it then. Or maybe if we get a prayer chain and get the whole church praying, then I can get it. I'm going to tell you what. I can do with my own faith what you can all get together to do whatever you want. But my faith will match your all's anytime. God will listen to my faith. And he'll listen to yours. If you believe it, if you believe that you got to get a gang, I'm going to tell you what. You get a gang and I'll guarantee you, you probably got half of them in unbelief. That's one thing. I'd never go into a big church and ask everybody to pray for me. I'd never do it. Because I'll tell you what, no telling you, they'd open up doors of the devil to chase you down. People praying in their unbelief. Hallelujah. You see, we're supposed to, God has set a system and we follow this system. You need to become convinced God will respond to you quickly as he'd respond to a crowd. You know, I don't know why we got this idea that somehow it's some kind of democracy. If we get enough votes, God will go ahead and do it. That's absolutely insanity. God don't do it because you get a crowd. Now, the Bible tells us the prayer of agreement. It's a powerful prayer. But you got to agree. And you know what a prayer agreement is? It's two or three getting together and believing Mark 11:24 identically. You got to ask for the same thing and believe for the same thing. You can't have one person asking for one there and another one idea and another. That's why when you ask somebody to agree with you, you should be sitting down and talking about directly what you're going to be believing and praying for. These people say, would you pray for me? What do you mean by just going throwing that out to somebody? Pray for you what? I've had people all the years going to be, would you pray for me? Yeah, about what? Oh, well, I know, just, you know, just pray. What should I pray you? You know, fall out the car door tomorrow or something? What do you want? I had one stupid guy as a seminary graduate came and asked me an unspoken prayer. I said, good. I said, I won't speak it at all. I just, unspoken prayer. What are you talking about? The Bible says what you ask when you pray. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, go, Lord, we have an unspoken prayer. And I could just see God sitting on the throne and say, who's that idiot down there? He ain't one of my kids, is he? Dear God. My words. I mean, think of the natural. Where does the church get these nonsense at? Where do we get this stuff in religion? Somebody's called, you know, and as a witness to something in a courtroom. I'm just going to give an unspoken testimony. And the judge goes, okay, white coats over here. Put one of them on him. There, we're going to get him out. We're going to tie him up out here. Give him a shot. He'll get better. Dear God. Shee. Oh, my. I'll tell you, I just get over here. But you know, you just got to talk plain about this stuff. Because I tell you, religion just goes on and beats these dead horses and plays these stupid games and just goes on and on and on and people buy it, you know. And I used to feel so sorry for my mom. My mama had so many quotes that were supposed to be in the Bible that none of them were there. And she, I used to feel sorry for her. You know, she just, you know, they're in the Bible. What? She heard a preacher say it. So it's in the Bible. Some preacher said it, you know. And, hallelujah. But when we pray, we're supposed to believe it is granted to us. In other words, it's something that has already been given to you. That's what we're supposed to believe. It's something. Now, this is a foundation, and while we're teaching on faith, anything we teach on that I'm teaching on faith, this is the principle. It all falls within this principle. You need, if this principle, you don't have it, you can do all you want with the rest of it. This is why people, their prayer lives. You know, your prayer life will change if you go, because if you understand faith, you can walk before God with such confidence. Your prayer life is a place where you go and meet God, and God meets up with you and is hooking up with you. That's what you want. You know, that's when the Lord told me when we started the church. And I've said this. I said, I look back at how little I knew then. You know, I knew some. But the Lord said to me, I want you to teach people so they can know me like you do. And I thought, dear Lord, it might be in trouble. But when I got out and started ministering, I started to realize, man, Christians are dumb as a stick. And it wasn't because they wanted to be or they tried to be. They weren't taught. They weren't taught the Bible. They're taught religious traditions. They're taught all kinds of stuff, but they weren't taught. But I found when there's people, you know, there's always a crowd that loves their religion, and they're going to pull away when you start talking. But I tell you, you always run into people. Boy, when they hear the truth and they want it, they, oh my God, they're so glad to hear the truth, and they come and they want to hear it. I tell you what, I'd rather preach to one person who wants to hear the truth than 10,000 people who are playing religion. I'd rather stand here and preach to you guys because I'm going to, I can preach on a level in this church. You can't even touch it. There ain't a church in town I could go and preach this level. They'd never listen to it. After service was over, we'd be in the cemetery out there. They'd be crucifying me and digging a hole. You know, that's, hey. They wouldn't be taking offerings. Other than to pay somebody to dig the hole. I doubt if they'd go 6 feet. They'd probably 3 feet plenty. Get the dirt over that boy. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you because it's dealing with the areas of faith because we're talking about faith. If you're born again and you know you're born again, you've believed on Jesus Christ, you've confessed his lordship, you've done what the scripture says, you're born again, you're a child of God. Because one of the areas that Christians do have problems in the areas of faith, Christians are always trying to get faith. And it's one of the things that I want to talk to you about is if we go over to Romans, the 12th chapter, I want to read to you here because there's some things I want to share with you to so you understand where you are as a believer. Because, see, if you don't know who and what you are and what you have, so many people are trying to get what they already have. You know, I remember coming to the kingdom and people would be talking about, oh, you know, we need to get the mind of Christ. I need to. And when I finally read in scripture and it says we have the mind of Christ, and I often thought about it. What does God think of people when they're asking for something they already have? You know, it's a guy who has a brand new car sitting outside and he's asking for a new car. Would you think he's insane? Say, what's going on between his ears? Many things the Bible says we already have, and we're praying and trying to get it, wasting our time in praying. Go on Randall Greer's site. You can get a series he has on prayer. It's called How to Waste Your Time Praying. As many people do, there's many Christians waste their time praying for what God has already given. God already says you have. Instead of them believing they have it and saying they have it, they keep talking like they don't have it. They try to get it. And what it does, it weakens it consistently. And you keep doing that on a consistent basis, it weakens your faith. It will weaken your confidence before God. You're always trying to get something. And God doesn't want it. God wants you to come. The Bible says in Hebrews, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. Now, number one, to receive mercy, mercy is based on the fact that you messed up and you need fixed. He said, boldly come when you got mercy. Well, we were taught if you did something wrong, you got to sneak in behind the throne and then slowly crawl on your belly around the other side and beg God to get, oh, help me, Lord Jesus. I made a mistake. The scripture says when you mess up, just go boldly to God. Go boldly to God. Say, God, I messed up. He said, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive. You know, he didn't say, if you ask me to forgive, I will. He said, if you just admit what I did, you did wrong, I'll forgive you. So you can go boldly to God and say, God, I messed up. You think he didn't know? We go forward and say, God, this is what I did. He's there, go on. But it tells us we come boldly to the throne of grace, receive mercy. And he says, on top of it, what I do, you find grace to help in time of need. In other words, grace is God's ability that works on your behalf. In other words, God says, you come over here, I'll forgive you and then give you ability. Why? So you don't keep messing up. Come on. Get back here. See, if you don't have that kind of boldness toward God, you don't, and most of the church does it. Most Christians don't. They have been taught not to. They, you know, you become so shameful because you missed it. Well, dear Lord, if I, you know, I never got anywhere if I was always so shameful because I missed it. Dear Lord, I was sorry I missed it, but you can't get over in that browbeating and smacking yourself, getting that little whip out and banging your own back, you know, and you're like, you know, I tell you, if I just hit myself enough, then God will think I'm all right. You got to get over that. God will forgive you. You need to learn to forgive you. You can't do that unless you know the Bible. You'll hold it against you. When God's holding nothing against an individual, I've watched people do this. God's holding nothing against them, but they're living like God's holding everything against them. You know, I stole as a kid. You know, all this, everything you do, God's writing it down. He's keeping track on you. I thought, man, dear Lord, he's got so much on me, he ain't got time to mess with you. He has file cabinets just filled with edge junk. Dear God, you know. So you're probably getting away with things. He's just busy with Ed. And, but see, religion leads you into thinking like that. Now, in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, starts off verse 1, familiar scripture. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Now, listen to what he says. Now, he made this statement. He said, for I say to you, I say, that through the grace given to me. Now, I'm going to make some. He's telling you, you present your bodies. You know, we got to get our minds squared away. This is what we do. He says, therefore, I say, the grace given to me to everyone who is among you. Now, he's talking to the believers among you. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. See, most people, that's where they park it. Right there, they went and run it right up there. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And they stop there and they'll preach, you know, you need to get rid of them shiny hubcaps. Or don't you buy them nice with a car with the real nice wheels. Don't you get that one for sure. And don't you, with a screen on the inside, my God, you're all, you and Lucifer will be hanging out with each other. You know, you don't do these things. You know, religion always sets these things. He said, you know, well, you know, some of the most prideful people I've ever met in my life are poor people. Full of pride. Filled with pride. Pride has nothing to do with how much money you got or whatever else. Pride. You know, sin ain't got a corner on the market to the guy who's rich. My words. Let me take you down to the ghetto. Sin runs rampant. You see, there needs to be a great change in thinking. Let's see. I say to you, think more highly in your heart. But he says, but to think soberly. Why? Now listen to what he says. Don't think of yourself. He said, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. He's dealt to each one. Now, he's talking here of believers. Now, some people say, you know, they try to say the Bible contradicts itself because Paul made a statement, said not all men have faith, but you have to read it in its contract, and it's in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 2. He said, he's talking about people praying for him. He said that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men not have faith. You see, he's talking about wicked people. Paul's writing here to the church, and he's talking to brethren. He's saying, the brethren, God's given you a measure of faith. Every believer has faith. Oh, you ain't saved if you don't have a measure. You already have. God's dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. It's something that you already have. You have a measure of faith. See, and people say, well, I just don't have faith for healing. Yes, you do. You have a measure. You have just never developed it. You have it. You just haven't developed it. You have a measure of faith for finances. You have a measure of faith for whatever God has called you to do. You have a measure of faith for it. God has dealt to every one of us. When you got born again, somebody didn't get a bigger bunch. See, when these people say, well, God does this because he's a preacher. No, God didn't give Ed a bigger measure of faith. He just gave me a different gift. But he didn't give me a different measure of faith. You know, the money and stuff I get for me personally, that has to come by my faith. It doesn't come because I'm a preacher. It don't come because of that. I have to believe God on things. There's things that I must trust the Lord in. But God has given to each one of us. And you need to get that in your mind. So many people are trying to get faith instead of develop the faith that they have. We want to develop and have more faith. And faith comes by hearing. So what it says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So in other words, by hearing, faith comes to me. I can add to that measure of faith that I was given. But you have faith. Get yourself settled in that you have faith. God gave you a measure of faith. You have it. Now, you just want to develop. See, here's another thing. See, if you're trying to get something you don't believe you have... See, you're operating in a total different place. But when you stop and say, well, you know what? The Bible says I have a measure of it. So I have faith. Well, number one, you wouldn't have been saved. That's when, you know, it's because we look and read concerning the Apostle Paul made the statement in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 13. And Paul said this, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. See, that's a spirit of faith. Well, see, that's a spirit of faith, as I said before, you got saved at. When you believed on Lord Jesus Christ, you believed God raised him from the dead. Said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. You see, when you did that, God gave you a measure of faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. In other words, faith is not something that you get, that you developed on your own to begin with. It is given by God. That's why it says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. God's faith is in his word. And it comes to you in the word. That's how you get it. It comes to you. It's God's faith. Now, he gave you this measure. And what you're doing is developing that measure with the word of God. You take that measure. I like to think of it sort of like investing. You invest money. If you took it, invested it. You know, somebody who does wiser about maybe investment ends up with more. But see, if somebody ends up with more faith, it isn't because they got a bigger measure. It's because they invested in that measure. They set it aside. This is why I feel so bad for Christians who sit in church who are not taught how faith works. Because they don't ever develop that measure, and they don't ever get. All they have is their whole faith is based on I'm saved, I'm a child of God. That's wonderful. We'll all go to heaven, but here we can't accomplish things, and we can't do things. We can't do what God wants us to do. There's things. Look, I've learned this a long time ago. I can't minister and stand up here under an anointing without faith, or it's just going to be me talking. I have to learn to yield and develop my faith to yield to the anointing that's on my life. I had to, you know, my gift's different. You know, this is one thing. See, I learned when I was just working. I worked at H.B. Reyes Candy Company when I got saved. So the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to stay here and work. He spoke to me. He said, I want you to stay here for a time. You're going to be working here for a time. I want you to stay. Because, you know, when I got born again, I knew the night I got saved, I was called to the ministry. I knew it. Well, he didn't tell me to get ready to go to the ministry. He told me, just you stay there. You have this job. I was going to church and I was working and helping in a church. He said, you stay here. So what I started to do, I started to use my measure of faith in developing it on my job, on doing better on my job and things. I learned how to yield to the Holy Spirit, tell when problems and stuff were going on, were having. I was a group leader in our department, and lots of times I ran our department because my boss would be called out a lot to do, they'd have him doing other stuff. And so I ran the department. Well, running the department, you have, you know, they want you to meet certain quotas, amount of production and that kind of stuff. Sometimes, you know, you have breakdowns and you can't do it. But one of the things I learned to develop in the areas of my faith and listen on the inside. Loads of times I had this happen. We'd have a breakdown, a problem would arise. And the mechanics, electricians are working on stuff, and sometimes they can't figure things out, you know. It just, and all of a sudden, I'd know what was wrong. I would know. And I had this time and time again. I'd walk up to a mechanical electrician and say, go check such and such. And they would say to me, well, that don't seem like that would be. No, I said, just humor me. Go check it. And they would go look at it. That's exactly what was wrong. I did that time and time again. See, you learn to develop your faith. In developing my faith, I learned to listen to my spirit. Look, if you're having trouble hearing your inner man, it's because you're having trouble. You haven't developed your faith. If you want to hear the Holy Ghost, you've got to learn to listen to the inner man. The Holy Ghost is in there. Faith is a development of the human spirit. Faith is of the heart. We read, you're believing in your heart. Well, do you know what you're believing in your heart? See, many times people don't. God didn't say whatever thing you'd like to have, He'll give to you. He said what you can believe in your heart and say with your mouth, He'll give to you. See, it's what you're saying, it's what's on the inside. Well, I learned to listen on the inside. That developing my faith helped me learn to listen on the inside. Time and time again, I had electricians and mechanics would say to me, see, it's amazing. Over time, they say, you know, you pay. How do you do that? I'd say, I just listen on the inside. They didn't get it at all. I listen on the inside. That's what I was doing. I was listening on the inside. People say, God told you. I don't know that God told me. You know, one of the things it is, your human spirit will pick a lot of things up just because your human spirit's in the realm of the spirit. It can pick things up that God don't have to tell you. In the spirit, you'll pick things up. See, you learn to become sensitive. So I learned to practice my job over there, and I learned to yield to the grace of God on my job and develop it concerning my job to get better. You know, that's one of the things of it is, God said, you know, He'll bless the labor of your hands. One of the things you want to be a good employee. I wanted to be a good employee. I didn't want to be a burden on the company. You know, these people, oh, they got so much money, and they go through all this stuff. Those people are a detriment to everything they get around. I don't care how rich a company is. You working for them, if you ain't doing a good job and complaining about them making money, they need to fire you. You need to be gone. I never begrudge anybody, me asking for money and then begrudging another man his money. You know, they invested in that company. Their money was making that thing run, not mine. I got paid for every hour I was in there. And they paid me good to do it too. See, people turn around and complain about what their company makes. Well, if the company don't make no money, you ain't got a job, you idiot. Get a break. And if they don't do right, God can take care of you. See, that's what God taught me, that one. When I was out in Raymond Bible School, and I worked in a meat department in a grocery store, and the manager wouldn't give me a raise. He'd give all his buddies raises, but would never give me a raise. And I just got all, you know, I got a little bent out of shape about that because he wasn't doing right and he didn't do right. And one day the Lord spoke to me and He said, why don't you go to work for me? Well, I know what He meant. He didn't mean I was supposed to leave the job. He meant, see, I was going in there working for that guy and He said, why don't you go to work for me? See, do what you do is under the Lord. See, you can't go take extra breaks on working for the Lord. And you say, I'm cheating. He said, you work for me. Well, number one, I was a good worker. When I went to a place, I'd always be a good worker. It's one of these learns a Christian. I don't care, you can say yourself a Christian. I'll look at what you do and I'll tell you if I think you are. You see, so I was going to be a good worker. And I was a very good worker. And He wouldn't give me a raise. The Lord said, why don't you work for me? And so I said, yeah, Lord, what I needed, He wanted me to have an attitude change. God wanted to bless me, but He could not bless me with my attitude wrong. I'm looking at that guy for my support. And if you're doing that where you're working, see, God told me I can't look at the church as my major support. I cannot do that. I'm not allowed to do that. I've learned those things. You don't. And if your place is there and, oh, they won't give me a raise, you just shut the door. See, I have a fixed income. Well, who fixed it? Besides you. God didn't fix it. So anyhow, I said, yes, Lord. I said, you're right. I know what He wanted me to do. So what I started doing, I'd go to work every day and I'd just say, Lord, I'm going to work for you. I'm working for Jesus. I'm on the job, you know, and that thought would come to me about that there scoundrel over there. You know, he didn't give me a raise. I just, no, Jesus ain't a scoundrel. Jesus is my boss. He's on the job and He treats me good. And this went on for a few months. All of a sudden, money started coming to us in the mail. People started sending us money. We didn't ask nobody for money. Money started coming to us. People started giving us money. We ended up having so much money coming in every month that I would literally forget to pick my paycheck up at work. We didn't need it. I mean, I didn't even notice, you know, because everything was taken care of. And they would call me and say, you didn't get your check. Jesus knows how to make things work. He knows how to do things. But he got me, he had to change my attitude. He had to get me over to get right about this thing. And then one day he said, "You go, I want you to go in today, and I want you to go to your manager and tell him you give him 2 weeks. You give him a 2 weeks notice." He said, "You're leaving here." He said, "Giving you a 2 week notice." And he said, "I don't care what he offers you money wise, because I knew he was going to be in big trouble. I was doing work for two or three people. And when I left, I knew he wasn't going to get anybody to take his job. I knew it wasn't going to work. He said, "You give him 2 week notice, and no matter what he offers you, that you tell him you cannot take, you will not take it. 2 weeks, you're gone." So I went in and I told him I'm going to be leaving in 2 weeks. And the first thing he wanted to do was give me a raise. And I looked at him and I said, "God spoke to me and told me to leave here. And in 2 weeks, I'm leaving. And then I don't care what you offer, I'm gone. In 2 weeks, you got the notice." Well, in 2 weeks' time, he didn't have anybody to do the job. And after I left, the people he got to do the job would last a day or so and leave. And he ended up getting fired. He got fired. Didn't work out well for him. I didn't try to believe on him not getting, him getting fired. He did that one himself. He did it himself. You see, this is one of the things. See, if you get over many times, as I watch, people, complain about their employer. They got a wrong attitude. Stop it. They're doing wrong. What are you going, don't get into their, don't get over into their field. You leave faith. You can't walk against the word of God and be walking by faith. It ain't going to work. You walk according to the word of God. You say, "Praise God. God's responsibility is to take care of me. If I have to trust in man, we're in trouble. We're in trouble." See, it's getting over letting God. Letting God say, "Here, they're doing this, and it's wrong. It ain't right, but here I am. I'm in the middle of this. I'm going to have to, my major thing is to keeping my attitude right. I got to keep myself right. I got to keep my attitude. Somebody's doing it, and what they're doing is wrong. But how I deal with it depends on me." And I've learned this over time. You don't want to mess up your faith and God's ability to be able to bless you because of what somebody else does. You don't want to do that because you don't ever leave this place of faith where what you believe in your heart and you're saying with your mouth stop it from coming to pass. Jesus said this, if we went on and read Mark 11, 20, 25 and 26, is if you have altar, you have something against someone, forgive. You go forgive. If they have, forgive it. Get it out. Get it dealt with. In other words, don't hold things. You do, it's going to cost you. It's going to stop your faith. In fact, Jesus, that's the only thing that he ever mentioned concerning faith in his entire ministry that was a hindrance to your faith. That was the only thing that he mentioned. See, this one thing. People don't realize that they walk and live lives holding stuff against people. You don't want to hold things against people and what they do. I learned this over time. People, I have never had anybody who went against me from the standpoint of being mean and honorary standpoint that their life didn't end up in big trouble. Never once. See, they're their own enemy. They don't need you doing something. I'll tell you, I'm going to get even. Yeah, and the devil's going to get even with you too. And you're going to end up with something you didn't want. You don't want to go there to that. People do things. Like I found you in the ministry and I started off, there's always people talk about you. There's always, you got to learn around. Lots of times people, they don't mean a thing by it. Most times people don't know any better. It's just like I've learned. You teach things and people don't know about them, then they go and they criticize. They're criticizing because of their ignorance. They don't know. And it's like, you just got to let it at that. A three-year-old kid, Braden was 3 years old and he said, "I'm going to beat you up, Grandpa." I wouldn't have thought nothing of it. Say, "He can't beat Grandpa up. No way." But this is people, it's the same way. We're dealing with babies lots of times, spiritually, people around us. And they're doing things, and they're doing them because of their ignorance and their stupidity. And bad, if they do know what they're doing, I feel worse for them. Because, man, they're in big trouble if they know what they're doing. So you don't want to do things that hinder your faith. You have a measure of faith, and you want to be able to keep developing that measure of faith. You want to be keep that faith growing. In Ephesians 2:8 says this, it says, "By grace you have been saved," how? "Through faith. And what? That not of yourself. It's a gift of God. See, the faith is the gift of God. Grace offered the gift of faith. It's from God, the ability to believe God. You have the ability to believe God. You have it. When you got born again, you're born again human spirit. Understand this. You were born into this earth with a nature of sin. Your spirit had the nature of sin in it. That's what you were. Everybody born on the earth, nature of sin. When you got born again, you got born again by the power of the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. And there's the most miraculous thing that ever took place on the face of the earth. A spirit being that was dead was removed, and you became an actual new spiritual person. You became anyone being Christ, he's a new what? Mm-hmm. You became a new creation. This new creation is the most remarkable thing, because this new creation is in the likeness and the image of God. Your human spirit is the most phenomenal thing, because it's like God. And then God turns around when you went and accepted him, and he has put a measure of his faith in your new human spirit. Your new human spirit. Look, you have the most fertile ground in the world to produce the things of God. You should never have on your voice, "It's hard for me to believe." That's absolutely the most stupid thing I ever heard a Christian say. Well, didn't you get born again? Was it hard? Hey, I'd really struggle to try to believe. What? You know, all I did is believe on Jesus and made a confession, and it worked. You know, it just, we didn't struggle. We didn't. Why? The faith came. You got born again. Now you're born again. The struggle of faith ought to be over with. The Bible consistently, look through the New Testament and read how many times it calls us believers. There are two groups of people out here. There are believers and there's unbelievers. I'm in the believing class. The believing class are the people of faith. That's natural to us. It's natural for the Christian to operate in faith. That's the nature of us. That's the nature of God in us, is to be faith people, dominated by our spirits and not by our flesh and mind. If you don't have faith, if God didn't give you any faith and all you had was a new spirit, your flesh would be dominating you and your unrenewed mind, and you'd be back in the same stupid condition you were in before. This is why people sometimes, they get born again, and when you watch their lives, it's like, my God, they never got born again. They never develop. They never develop on the inside. They never develop out of that man on the inside the faith. See, that's spiritual growth. If you haven't grown in faith, you haven't grown spiritually. It's an impossibility. If I can't trust God more today than I did 10 years ago, I haven't grown spiritually. Faith of the heart. God, why would God put a measure of faith in my heart, and this faith and this confession and all this, don't mean anything. God went to a lot of trouble with this thing. He went to a lot of trouble to create this new spirit and put that measure of faith in there. And he did. I mean, you talk about a gift of God. You and I have the ability to believe God. You and I have the ability. It is in my nature to trust God. That's in my nature. That's in your nature. See, you got to get past your unrenewed mind and your flaky flesh. You got to get by that. Man, this guy on the inside, he loves to believe God. He loves to trust God. The inner man, he's after God. That's his nature. I'm not trying to get my inner man to want God. I'm not trying to get my inner man to seek God. It's his nature. He's made of faith. That's what he is. He's been created in that. The measure of faith's been put in there. And that's my nature, to trust God. See, you need to, and I'm just telling you, this won't work for you because I'm saying it. Works for me because I'm saying it. It ain't till you start saying what I'm saying, it'll start working for you. You get it on your mouth. Hallelujah. I would never go around. I'm just having a tough time believing God. I never have a tough time believing God. My mind has a lot of trouble sometimes. But this inner man, he believes at a snap. I just got to start saying what this inner man says and bypass this stupid thing sitting on top of my shoulders. Get past that. Get past my flaky flesh and my feelings and whether I'm hurt or not hurt or whatever. Get past all that nonsense. Get to the inner man. And let that guy on the inside say, he can borrow my tongue today. I'll let him talk instead of that flaky thing sitting on my head, that little pea that's been running around between your ears up there, rattling, making noises, and you keep saying those noises you're hearing running around up in there. No, let your tongue get attached to your inner man. That's what speaking in tongues is about. It's about your spirit borrowing your tongue, and you speak in tongues, God don't. You let the inner man do some talking and say some things. That's what it's about. The church fights it. I mean, majority of Christians, I mean, they don't believe that, you know, speaking in tongues is for today. The devil's done talked them all out of it and that stuff. Why? Because their tongues belong to their mind and their flesh. And that's what church is today. It's a place to you go get your feelings feeling better. And you go to get yourself, you know, cuddled and patted because of all of your problems. You just got trouble. Oh, you poor little thing. Well, it's good anyhow, folks. Look, I know what I'm talking about. My flesh wants patted. I got to look in the mirror sometimes in the morning. I say, flesh, shut up, you dumb thing. You know, the Bible calls this, I like the fact that Paul called it, King James says it's a tent. Don't even call it a house. This thing's so temporary to Paul, he called it a tent. I like that. Hallelujah. You know, you just think too much. You know, if you like your flesh a lot, it's because you're high-minded. That's what we were reading about, the high-minded. You're high-minded. That's high-minded people. They think a lot of their flesh. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what. I glorify the inner man. I'm the one that's made by God. Glory. Hallelujah. God done moved in there now. Now just think about it. You got born again. God put the measure of faith in you and then turned around and the Holy Ghost moved in. Oh, my God. And people are trying to run around trying to find God. And Christians are trying to seek God. And they're, dear Lord, He's been in there the whole time. Hallelujah. If you can't believe God with the Holy Ghost in you, I tell you, you definitely need another dip of something. Or maybe a drink. I don't know. You need something. But see, when people aren't taught what the Word says, people begin to seek for what they already have. They're trying to, it's like Christians seeking for power. God, the Holy Ghost lives in you and you're looking for power? I mean, what do you want? Should I stick a dynamite in your ear or something and let it blow your head off or something? What? I mean, think about that. We have so much religious talking and religious statements made. And we've said them for so long and we've talked this stuff and religion has pushed this stuff. And people just go on along blabbing it instead of talking out this inner man. See, the inner man says, the Holy Ghost down here, you idiot. Quit saying that. See, the Holy Ghost in here. I'm having a hard time hearing from God. God talks to me more sometimes than I'd like Him to. Because He straightens me out often. I don't know about you. Maybe I need more correction than you guys do. I don't know. But He talks to me. But He talks to me. He's not critical. It's always to help me along. Hallelujah. Why? He wants my faith to work. Why? Because I ask Him to. See, I want this faith in me, I want this inner man to develop strong. Why? You can't do the will of God if He ain't. You're not going to do the will. You're not going to practice or do what God wants you to do. You do that by developing on the inside. You know, it's like people, you know, people talk to you, it's a hard time, you know, giving money or doing this. That's not hard to do. You develop the inner man, it just becomes a natural thing to do to give. That becomes natural. See, you always have people who fight, have problems with things because of their lack of spiritual development. They're trying to do this stuff through their mind. You know, the first thing on your mind will tell you, yeah, but if you give that money away, you might not have enough. If you have a problem comes up, you won't have any money. And what if you did this? Oh, I know, my mind will still try to do that dumb stuff today. You know what I do? I always give money away when my mind starts doing that and it learns to shut up. It says, man, if we keep talking to this guy, he'll give more away. And your brain says, uh-oh, okay, we don't want to go through that one. Tilt. And especially if the devil says something to me about it, then we double it up. The devil hates that. He's mad you gave what you wanted, but to give twice as much? Oh, no, you don't want that one. I'll tell you, I've learned to stand against my flesh. When my flesh gives me a hard time, I'll go do exactly what my flesh is fighting me about. And I've learned my flesh gets silent about things. You resist the devil, you resist your flesh, and you resist a dumb mind. But you do it by faith on that inner man. When that inner man gets up, you say, I'm following the inner man in this thing. I'm going to follow the inside. Why? Because that inner man, that's the kingdom of God. Remember Jesus said, the kingdom of God's in you. You're following the. You can't follow the kingdom of God and follow your mind and your flesh. You can't follow the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's in you. You want the answers? It's on the inside. You've been created in the likeness of God. Your spirit, I mean, was created just as pure and clean. That's why the word says you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That new man on the inside is righteous as Jesus Christ himself. You have the righteousness of God. You're as righteous as God is. Now, religion really hates to hear this kind of stuff. Oh, you're preaching heresy. And I got a thing written about that too, my heresy. I preach heresy. I preach righteousness, the righteousness of God. Do you think you're God? I didn't say I was God. I said I have his righteousness. He said I did. He shouldn't have said it if I don't. What did he lie about? He said I'm righteous. Glory to God. And it says I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Last time I checked, I'm in Christ Jesus. And what is that? The righteousness of God. That's why you can come boldly to the throne of grace. See, if you understand these things, when you mess up, I can go to the throne. Why? Because I'm righteous. I'm allowed to. You know what righteousness is? It's right, being right, doing right. It is the right thing for me to do to run to the throne boldly. That's the right thing to do. The Bible says that's righteousness in action. Going and hiding out away from God for, 6 months and staying away because you feel so guilty, that's insanity. Righteousness runs to the throne and said, no, I belong at the throne. I don't fix this thing. We're going to get this thing taken care of. It's at the throne. Why? Because that's where the righteous go. Hallelujah. You have a measure of faith. And that's what acting in faith. You put those actions to work. You believe who and what God said you are. Hallelujah. You have the same spirit of faith according to what you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth. That's what it is. So you need to start speaking of what the Word of God says about you. What the Word of God says about you. God calls you righteous. You need to start calling yourself righteous. I remember when I got that revelation from Kenneth Hagin. Man, at first I was like, wow. See, I sat in churches and there's none righteous, no, not one. Oh, yeah. And you know what? They use a part scripture, and they take it and made a doctrine, which has ended up to be a doctrine of devils. It is a demonic doctrine to make a Christian feel inferior. If you read that in its context, it's talking about us being righteous. When we were in sin, there wasn't any righteous. Jesus Christ made us righteous. Hallelujah. Now we are the righteousness of God, the scripture said. Now you are. Hallelujah. See, well, I don't feel very righteous. He didn't ask you how you felt about it. He didn't ask you any. He didn't ask you your thoughts on the subject. He just asks you to believe what the scriptures. See, this is what believing is about. Believe what the scripture says. You don't have to think about it. I don't have to. If God said it, I don't have to think about it. If God called me righteous, what do I want to fight that one for? No, I want to be a bag of dirt. I just want to be worthless. No, let me alone. Let me just be a scumbag, okay? God says, no, you're righteous. No, Lord. I don't deserve a good gift like that. I don't. Say, yeah, I'm going to take all the gifts I can get from God. I ain't turning none of them down. So if you have ones you don't want, send them my way. I'll take them. See, God says these things about us. We need to begin. It's not enough to read them in Scripture. You need to get them on your voice. Your own human spirit needs to hear you saying these things. Your own human spirit needs to hear you saying. You will never be convinced till you say them. That's why I have a list of things that I make confessions of. Especially when I'm moving into an area that I want to walk in, I will get scriptures and I'll turn around and those scriptures, I'll quote those scriptures every day, 2 or 3 times a day. Get those scriptures and I'll quote those scriptures and quote those scriptures to myself. Why, number one, you ain't going to bring your mind under control. You sitting around doing everything else saying I'm believing God, never saying anything that God says. It ain't going to work. I just tell you, it don't work. But you know what? You keep yourself focused. You keep yourself focused. Now, in those areas, what happens? I begin to do that, and eventually, when I think about that situation I want to change, the first thing that comes up even in my mind is those scriptures. See, my mind got renewed. I've said them long enough till what's on the inside got upstairs. See, if your upstairs is bugging you, it's because your mouth's been saying the wrong stuff so long. And you need to change what you're saying so that inner man can start to change. You get renewed how? By the spirit of your mind. The spirit. Get renewed, the spirit of your mind. Get this, what's in here, up here. And you ain't going to do that without faith. And faith is done by believing and saying, believing and saying, believing and saying, praise God. I say I'd walk along if I'd be believing or healing. Praise God. I'd get up in the morning if I didn't feel good. I'd say, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm just so glad I'm healed. I just appreciate that Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I'm so glad of that. Thank you for healing me. See, I'm not trying to get healed. I believe I already have it. That's faith. That's why when it shows up, it don't surprise me at all. I don't go, oh my God, I got healed. Well, no, I received my healing the day I believed and said it. That's when I got mine. Hallelujah. Praise God. When I believed I received such and such amount of money, I believed I had that the day that I got it. When it shows up, it don't surprise me at all. It don't surprise me. It surprises me when it don't show up. You know, when I was late, I was believing God for a certain amount of money, and part of it showed up and the other didn't. And I just, well, praise God. The rest of it has to show up. I said, the Lord, it has to show up because I believed it was mine, so it must show up, and it showed up. Wow, it has to. I believe I received it. I've done what was right. And I've said it with my mouth. And the rest of it showed up. Say, did you need the money? No, I was just believing for something. The Lord told me this and you need to get it. Don't wait till you need something to call stuff in. Start calling stuff in. You start talking stuff. This is where this faith thing works. It isn't wait till a problem comes and then let's try to fix it. Why not get fixing some things ahead of time? Why not get some things out here? See, I confess about my health all the time. I confess about myself all the time, making right confessions about it. Why? I'll tell you what. See, this is the world when I worked at Reese's, they called that doing preventive maintenance. You know, you go out there and every so often they stop the equipment and fix it a little bit. Well, see, I'm constantly doing preventive maintenance with my mouth saying concerning my body. Most people don't do any preventive maintenance, and then when the thing comes, then they're trying to go through the things of faith, and they ain't got it. No, you get it going out there. When something shows up, you put the brakes on and say, you ain't messing with me. You get out of here. you don't belong to me. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from sickness. You know, if you're redeemed from the curse of the law, that means you were there, now you're not at it. You've moved away from it. Why would we think? I hear a minister say, well, it's just normal in this earth, you know, to have sickness. What do you mean it's normal? It is abnormal for this boy to be sick. This is an abnormal situation. Why? I'm redeemed from it. I live in this earth, but I've been redeemed from sin, and I've been redeemed from this junk that's going out on out here in this earth. I'm from that. I was there one day, but I'm from there. I'm not there no more. Hallelujah. I'm at another spot. I went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. In the kingdom of light, that's God's kingdom. There is no sickness. You see, you got to change the way you think. You got to get yourself thinking. What's going on is abnormal. You know, because we're in the flu season. Well, sure, you might be, but I ain't. I don't have a flu season. I have a well season. That's what we got. It's called a health season, and that's the one I got because I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. That was under the curse. I'm redeemed from it. Abraham's blessings on mine. My life. Hallelujah. Me and Abraham. Glory to God. Got the promise of the Spirit through faith. I'll tell you, Abraham, when he looked down through the, saw what God was going to do, can you imagine when he looks down today and people on the earth have the Holy Ghost in them? And they're living lower level than he did. He didn't have it, and they got it. And they're down here squalling around and squandering around, trying, fussing and fighting about things. And he said, what's wrong with these people out here? Abraham probably, was probably hanging over the banister of heaven and say, wake up, space cadets! What are you doing down there? Hallelujah! My blessing's on you! What are you doing? See, we need to talk these things. You know, you got to talk yourself into stuff. That's why don't ever listen to these people that tell you you shouldn't talk to yourself. Because what they're doing is telling you, don't use your mouth on your behalf and become an idiot like me. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to talk, folks. You know, because there's plenty of voices speaking against me. Hallelujah. I'm using mine for me, and mine's the one that counts. Glory to God. The rest of them can talk. Jesus done sided with me. And he'll side with you. Side with the word. He sided with you. How can you go wrong? Jesus said, if two or three, you know, is agree, is touching anything they ask, he said, I'm there in the midst, dear Lord. Jesus is right in the midst of this thing with me. I'll tell you, him and I are in agreement. I'm agreeing with him that his word's true, and it's so. And I'm going to declare it with my mouth and say it with my mouth till that thing blows up. And dear Lord, we're going to have an atomic explosion. Everybody's going to step back and say, wow, did you see what happened? Say, man, well, I knew it was coming for years. Hallelujah, it was coming. I done called that thing in. The glory won't be sent in, it'll be called in. The people that are waiting for the glory are going to be waiting and 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 waiting. No. It's called in. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. I ain't waiting to get the anointing. It's already on me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you got, well, who does he think he is? I'm what the Bible says I am. If you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it. I mean, but I'm going to listen to it. And listen to yourself. Talk about yourself the way the Bible talks about you. Say what the Bible says. Confess those things. That's the spirit of faith. That's the spirit of faith. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Went on for a long time. But hallelujah is good preaching anyway. I'll tell you, it made me happy. It turned it on the inside of me. But see, we need to hear this. Stuff needs to be drilled and drilled and drilled and drilled and drilled. Say, well, you know, we've heard this before. Man, I bet you I've heard it more times than you have. I've listened to it and listened to it. I mean, all week I've been listening to tapes, things about dealing with faith and faith in prayer and faith in this. And I just listen to it. I just constantly bombard myself with it. I know this. I'm not doing this just so I can preach. I'm doing this because of the day and time we live in. We can't be messing with this stupid stuff that's going on out here. And religion is a killer. And religion is doing nothing but destroying stuff. And religion stopping the will of God from coming to pass. God needs some people that can believe him. And I don't want him to look down and say, Ed, why don't you wake up? It's like I said, Jesus made one thing he said, only one thing that he said personally, that Jesus spoke and said that he wanted to know if he would find when he come back. And he said, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? And I tell Jesus this all the time. Jesus, you sure is going to. Ed's here. I don't know about anybody. That's, you know whether you're walking in it or not. You know, I just, Lord Jesus, you come back, you're going to find Ed walking in faith. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be walking in the spirit of faith. I'm going to be believing the word and saying what the word says and acting on what the word says. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to be. You come back and see, you folks know it too. See, he's going to find faith. That's what he asks. He wants to find when he comes back. Oh, people have all kinds of things. They say he wants to find when he comes back. Jesus said, will I find faith in the earth? Can you imagine such a statement made? All the people call themselves Christian in this world, and Jesus wanted to know if he'd find any faith when he got back. Loads of religion, little faith. Loads of religion, little faith. Hallelujah. Ain't going to be happening here, is it? We ain't going to be doing that here. I'll tell you what, I'll carry enough faith for 20. Glory to God. We will walk by faith. That's what we're going to do. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to be able to bring his will into the earth. And I'll tell you what, there's groups and people all over the place that are like us. They're moving in the right direction. The major crowd never is moving. The major crowd is never moving in the right direction. The majority is never going in the right direction. Never. You will never find in anything in any movement where the majority are moving in the right direction. It never does. As I've studied the history of revivals, you go back and read revivals, no revival ever came through a major group, big group of people. Never happened. It always comes through a small group of people. The average people get over and get tied up into, you know, trying to be like everybody else. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, the only guy I'm interested in is Jesus. He's the only thing that can change me. He's the only thing that can take me to the glory. He put things inside of me, and there's no way to bring those things to pass except through him. It can't happen. And so I have to stay with him on this thing because it can't come to pass any other way. And if it don't come to pass, I'm going to be a disappointed person if it wouldn't come to pass. See, you got to get over that thing. It's like, I have set my heart on certain things coming to pass. And if they don't, if God would say to me, none of that's going to happen, you know what I'd say to him? I want to leave. I'm going to leave tomorrow. I ain't staying here no more. I don't want to be here. If I ain't going to be here, I don't want to be here. There's people say, oh, we ain't going to have no big revival in the end. Well, if we ain't, I want to leave. I won't go. But I want to tell you what, hallelujah, if you'd see the revival that's already going on in this boy, dear Lord, hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God! God's a moving. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you today. Father, these are your people. Hallelujah. And Lord God, they're a glorious people because you made them that way. They were created that way. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not trying to become something. We're not trying to be something. You have made us into something. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, there is nothing like the born-again Christian. There is nothing like, Lord God, the ones that have been called out of darkness, called into your marvelous light. There's nothing like them, Lord God. Hallelujah. There's no beings on the earth that can accomplish or do what they can do. There's no one, Lord God, that can carry this thing and fulfill what your plans and purpose are. Lord God, the people, the Christian, they're developed specifically for this. And Lord God, that's what we are. We're this wonderful vessel. We're this wonderful thing that you established and did. Hallelujah. And Lord God, the glory. Lord, we just get a glimpse of this glory. And Lord God, we get so excited. But Lord God, I know this. The glory is greater than we've seen. The glory is more magnificent. And Lord God, we need to be able to look more and more on that glory. Lord, we got to get the veil off of Moses' face. We got to get the veil off. The veil's been on the church. And that we can look directly into this glory that you have. Hallelujah. That you've planned for us. That you've set and decided from the foundation of the world the things that you were going to do. And you established it in your word. And you've declared it in your word. And Lord God, we're declaring it today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, hallelujah, Father, in this earth, we are stepping into those days and times, Lord God. Lord, they were here, but Lord, our faith, Lord God, was not at a place that we stepped over in them, yet they were here and you established it here. Lord God, you said that in 1950 that we were living in the days of the miraculous, yet man moved away from that. But Lord God, we are establishing today, Lord God, we have stepped into that place. That door has been opened and we've walked into that place of the miraculous. Hallelujah. Lord God, that will be just as natural in the church in these days. It will be just as natural for the miraculous as it does to walk and breathe, Lord God. Lord, that we will see with our eyes, Lord God, with our hearts knows and believes and will bring to pass, hallelujah, your glory fulfilled in this earth. Lord, just as Jesus' ministry, Jesus said the works that he did, he wanted us to do. And Lord God, there was no limits in his ministry concerning the healing of the sick, Lord God. There was no limits upon those things, Lord God. Lord, the people being healed and set free. And Lord God, I want to thank you in these days and times. We step into those places. We're going to stand in that ministry. That's what we've decided in the name of Jesus. Jesus said we would do his work. Therefore, we will do them. Hallelujah. We will walk in them. That's just the way it is. Hallelujah. You said in his name, we would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. So Lord God, that is the norm in your name. Lord God, I'm so glad I don't have to heal the sick. You do in Jesus' name. Jesus, when we lay hands on him, you do the healing. And we're so thankful. Hallelujah. Lord God, it works. Hallelujah. We cast out devils in that name. In the name of Jesus, no demon can stand before us in the name of Jesus Christ. Demons do not have authority over us, but we have authority over them in the name of Jesus. And they will bow to the church of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, if we drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt us, Lord God. Lord God, I want to thank you. Our food is sanctified in the name of Jesus. Whatever, Lord God, anyone tries to bring harm against us in that manner, Lord God, it will not harm us in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Father, I want to thank you. Lord God, the word says we'll tread on scorpions, snakes and scorpions, speaking and all the authority of the enemy. Anything the enemy throws out, we're going to walk on it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We will not be held back from the things that, Lord God, you called us to do. Father God, the church will go forward in its glory in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, that healing will just become in health, especially divine health become normal in Christians. Lord Jesus, you told Kenneth Hagin that the church, the Christian, that health and healing should be the norm for the Christian. It should be the norm, what should be normal. And you said you didn't put gifts of healings in the church to heal the church, because the church was supposed to walk in health, because the same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead lives in them. And I want to thank you, Lord God, the Holy Ghost is quickening our bodies in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you that health is the norm right now in the name of Jesus. In the bodies, right now in this place, in the name of Jesus. It is normal for the bodies. Everybody recovering health, wholeness, soundness, because of the Holy Spirit. We've been redeemed from the curse. No one. The curse doesn't belong to you. You're a child of God. The curse don't belong to you. The church curse don't belong to you. Healing belongs to you. It is yours. And the Holy Ghost is the seal of the promise in you. He's the seal of the promise in you. Health is yours in Jesus' name. Health is yours in Jesus' name. Health is yours in Jesus' name. That's the norm. That's what's normal. Hallelujah. It is normal for you to be well. Hallelujah. It's normal because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead makes alive your mortal body. Mortal body, you're going to have to get in line. Hallelujah. You're going to line up with the way God created it to be. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. This just came up in me. Is anybody having trouble in the areas of finances? You're having trouble concerning finances. Anybody at all? You need any help in that area?